clear. Oh, it comes off Hughes. A wee bit better. It is McHugh.
Hello and welcome to the MSC Podcast. Tonight, myself, Jay and Buster, delighted to welcome along another debutant, Scott Kennedy. Scott, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Guys, welcome along. As always, I'll start with yourself, Jay. I know this is maybe a bad place to start, given you weren't at the game yesterday, but it's good to be recording on the back of a victory. I had fought 1-0 victory at Livingston, securing a passage into the quarterfinals of the Betfred League Cup. First and foremost, the importance of a win can't be underplayed, can it? You had a difficult start to the season, a fair bit of negativity almost building up, but that will certainly curtail it for a week or so at least.
Yeah, I mean, as you say, I wasn't there sadly. I was at a wedding, but you know, so I won't go into too much detail about the actual game because I can't. But what I think was positive was the fact that last week, you know, we kind of spoke at length, quite negatively about the season so far. I don't think there was any kind of out of order criticism of Stephen Robinson, but we were critical. We were critical of perhaps the team selection, the persistence with Main and Salmon in coaching games the way we were playing through the 90 minutes. So to see that lineup at 2 o'clock yesterday, and to see that he had bonded to quite glaringly obvious errors in his lineup so far this season, I think was really encouraging. Because I think it's easy to kind of forget that Stephen Robinson is still a young manager. You know, he's been here for, you know, over a year now. What is it, the tail end of his first season, and then a full season last year, and into this season. I think it's easy to kind of forget that he is still a young manager. He's still learning quite a lot. He'll still be learning every day, and it's good to see that he at least responded to what we wanted him to respond to. So I was encouraged when I saw the lineup. Maybe not so much with Campbell dropping to the bench, but that was, you know, something that Robinson decided to go with. And I think if we're going to be critical of his team selection some weeks when it doesn't work out, then yesterday is perhaps one to kind of give him the thumbs up and you know, actually give him a little bit of praise for picking a team that actually managed to get through the tie.
I think someone's just fallen off a roof or something like that.
I don't know what that was.
Another huge positive is a goal for Danny Johnson. He's second in the competition so far this season. We talked about the impact that Johnson's made from the bench in the first two games of the season, given a starting berth alongside Curtis Main, and he's repaid the faith shown in him by scoring the only goal of the game. Good link-up play with Curtis Main as well. It looks a positive there. We've talked about the partnership of Main and Salmon and how it's not really clicking. The players are just too similar, I think, but Johnson certainly gives us an extra dynamic, and that showed yesterday.
Yeah, I think every time I've seen Johnson, he's, you know, he's offered something very different from what Main and Salmon do. Unfortunately, like Jay, I was not at the football either. There doesn't even appear to be a highlights package up yet either, so I've not even been able to clock that. I did see that, you know, Muller would put the goal up, and as he says, Johnson and Main seem to combine very well for the goal, and again, Johnson took the goal fantastically. I think it's just, he just seems to have, from what I've seen of him, you know, the very limited times I've seen him, and he just seems to have that sort of, you know, the goal scorer instinct, and I think that's something which we really need. And, you know, Curtis Main came in January onwards and done really well, you know, maybe up until about the semi-final point last season, and I think Phil Lewis and Louis Moult, we really need somebody who can score a goal or two for us.
Yeah, Scott, I think it was a noticeable shift in our play with not having two target men. We did get the ball down, and I'll go on to talk about the surface in a wee minute. That could end up being a pretty long rant, I feel, but we changed our play to suit the personnel that was there, and that certainly worked for us on the day.
I think I've got to admit, I was a bit surprised when I seen the team line-up, because as you mentioned the pitch, I thought yesterday the ball would have spent a lot more time in the air. You've seen it at Hamilton in previous seasons when it's difficult to get the ball down on a pitch like that. But no, as you say, when me and Johnson were up front together, and so much more ball on the deck, trying to spray it out wide, making the passes, getting in his feet, it was much more refreshing to watch than what we've seen in the last couple of weeks.
And I've talked about positives. I thought that Trevor Carson had a fantastic game and goal, particularly his saves early on in the first half, keeping the scores level. He's a player that's possibly began to slip under the radar because there's been, I think there was just so much expectation that he would be off schedule in the summer. That's not happened as yet, and he continues to do a fantastic job when called upon.
I think that I think everybody thought Carson would be away by now. I think one of the things that's possibly went against that is maybe, the English league's changing their transfer deadline day, to be honest with you. I don't really see him going abroad or anything. I don't think it's very rare that players from Scotland would go directly abroad. So I think he'll be here until at least Christmas. But I think much like Chris Cadden, the two of them are very much some players that we're going to be promoting and basically trying to punt, I think, especially with bringing in Gillespie.
Yeah, you would think so. Jay, we'll move on and talk about that surface, which we've seen some bad artificial parks in the last couple of years. I still completely disagree with them being used in the top flight. We've now got, three in the Premiership this season. Livingston's, though, took it to a completely different level. This park is absolutely shocking. By far the worst I've seen at any level. The amount of black, I think it was Gordon Reid called it, black crumbs coming off the pitch. It's just absolutely bonkers. The bounce was so unpredictable. It didn't play true whatsoever. Surely it's about time, and I think this will come up, given that Jamie Murphy seemed to sustain quite a bad injury at Rugby Park today, playing for Rangers against Kilmarnock. That will highlight the dangers of these plastic pitches, and surely it has to be looked at. I wouldn't be surprised if the authorities actually demand Livingston rip that up, and even if it's a case of installing another pitch, there's going to need to be something done about that.
Yeah, I mean, interesting you mentioned the Jamie Murphy incident. That was, going through my mind there when you were talking about the plastic pitch, because it did look, it was one of those innocuous ones, but I think you could quite clearly see it was to do with the surface rather than anything else. And, the very clear pain that Murphy was in and the way he was stretched off, it certainly wouldn't be. I don't know if there's been any reports about the injury and the aftermath, but it certainly looked like a very, very serious one, and one that you could probably lay the blame squarely at the door of the surface rather than anything else. And it just seems to be something that we're kind of talking about all the time now. It's unacceptable for me. Plastic pitches shouldn't be in the top flight. Football is a game that should be played on grass if possible. Yes, if it's further down the leagues, if there's a particular reason for it, then fair enough. But for me, if you're going to have certain requirements to play in the top flight, such as all-seater stadiums and things like that, then having a pitch made of grass seems like a pretty acceptable requirement to have. Obviously, as already said, I wasn't there, so I didn't get the chance to see the pitch firsthand. One of the first photos that my dad was sending me from the game was of the state of the pitch just after the Motherwell players had been warming up on it. Just these black balls, just the wee black crumbs, as you were saying, absolutely everywhere. You look at the highlights for the Livy-Kilmarnock game. I can't remember if it was last week or the week before, but it almost looked as though you were watching a waterlogged park that had been flooded with black water or something like that. It was that same sort of motion when slide tackles were happening, when bodies were hitting the deck, when the ball was bouncing. It was just waves of black balls going everywhere. It's just embarrassing. Plastic pitches on as a whole are unacceptable for me, but I think that when you're actually getting a plastic pitch that has just been completely saturated and those daft wee black rubber balls you get in sort of 3G and 4G parks, it just looks pathetic. You're sitting watching it and it doesn't look like a top flight game of professional football. It just looks utterly ridiculous. It's a no-brainer for me. I still can't believe we're having this conversation when you look at how poor the pitches and the Ackies and Rugby Park have been for a couple of seasons now. the authorities did something about it.
Scott, there's no denying that these pitches possess a commercial benefit for clubs like Hamilton, Kilmarnock, Livingston. They can obviously be used at any time the team aren't in action. It also allows them to train in that pitch, which I believe gives them a fair degree of an advantage as well, because they're used to that pitch. They're signing players almost based around how bad the pitch is or the facilities that they've got there. So it's in the top flight. I can see the reasoning for it further down the leagues where money is so tight, but this, it should be a requirement to have a grass pitch when you're in the top league. They're getting all the revenue from TV deals, however poor that might be, but you know what I mean, there's more money coming into the club, and that should be an absolute staple requirement.
I think so, aye. I mean, yesterday, looking at the pitch, there's a few times where it looked as if the Livy players, who, I mean, I don't know for sure, but as you say, I'd imagine they train on that pitch during the week, they couldn't spring a pass 5 yards without the ball going in the opposite direction to where they were expecting it. So if professional players who are training in that day in, day out, can't go and make a simple pass, then what chance has away teams got? What chance has there been a good quality game between two teams looking to progress in the cup? And also, I thought that there was an incident with Tom Aldred, a challenge from one of the Livy players, and we obviously, you remember Andy, probably, we were crying for the free kick. I was kind of sitting in line with that, and I actually felt that the reason that challenge happened was because the Livy player, I'm not sure who it was, but he seemed to get kind of stuck in the pitch as he was about to go into the challenge, and as a result of that, Tom Aldred, he arrived probably a second or 2 seconds late, and he clattered into Aldred's knee, and it really looked like a sore one. And after kind of shouting for the free kick or whatever, we looked back and I said to my mate, you know, I think that's as a result of the park. I think he's got stuck in the park and it slowed him down.
Yeah, I think that's actually what happened to Jamie Murphy today. It was a very unnatural body movement. It looked like his knee almost collapsed due to the movement. It looked really nasty, but there was quite a few instances where the pitch was dictating how the game went, and it was, but as I said, it just didn't play through. There was passes that would just stick to the surface, and then there would be ones that ran at 100 miles an hour. It was a very, very strange way, and you couldn't gauge it. I was talking about the advantages of training on it every day, but there wasn't one passage of play that matched the next. There was nothing that, if you passed the ball 20 yards at different parts of the park, every time it would run at a different speed or take a different bounce. It was very, very odd, but I'm sure the other guys have spoken for you, Buster, but you're not a big fan of these pitches either, are you?
No, the one sort of comment I was going to make about it there was, the sort of not being able to pass the ball in these parks, because you've always explained there, you know, the Livy one sort of was sticking and whatever at points, but Hamilton and, you know, Kilmarnock, for example, in the past, I've always thought it'd be the ideal surface to actually play some short passes, or, you know, because the ball just moves across it fair enough. Obviously, when you try a through ball or whatever, it runs on too fast, or when you play a high pass and it bounces, the bounces are, you know, they're hard to judge because you're used to playing on grass and it bounces knee height rather than halfway up your shin. But as you say, I can't comment, to be fair, on Livy's. I never seen it in person. The wee black balls reminded me of, you know, when I used to play sevens up at the Matt Busby Centre in Bells Hill. That used to be absolutely full of them, and you know, you'd get home and take your soak off, and half of the park would basically fall out into your kitchen. So again, you know, I can't really comment on it, but it's as I've said plenty of times in the past, plastic parks are a lot of shite, to be honest with you, an absolute lot of shite. So, you know, you're not going to catch me saying anything different any time, no matter what happens, whether we win or lose. So, I'm with you, get rid of them, they're a lot of shite.
Scott, just a final one in the Livingston game. This has been something that's annoyed me about going to the football for quite some time, but Stevie Lawless coming over to take corners in the first half and being booed every time he did so. I assume for being a former player, this was a guy that played about three times for us. Why are we booing him? Can someone explain that to me?
It was a bit strange. Yeah, I thought that myself. And he clearly never done anything wrong or when he was with us. You know, he left, if I remember rightly, he was released at the end of his contract, or he was released to pursue something else, and he went to Thistle. But there was nothing said, I can't remember, or even when he was playing for Thistle, I can't remember any incidents or anything that would make people behave in that way. But I think it's just become the norm, unfortunately, but I don't see the reason for it myself.
Yes.
I don't really mind getting ex-players a wee bit of boo and stuff like that, because it's a good laugh at things. But as you say, Stevie Lawless, I think three's being generous, to be honest with you. I don't know how many times he actually played for Mull. I can only imagine that people don't like him because he went elsewhere. I don't know if you can call it success, but he came on to a wee bit of game with Partick Thistle, and every time we went against him, and every time he was mentioned, he was always mentioned as the one that got away, as if he was Cristiano Ronaldo or something. But I don't know why people would fucking boo him, to be honest with you.
Well, if Stevie Lawless needs a bit of a pick-me-up, then our new partners, beer52.com, will be able to sort him out with a free case of beer. As a listener to the show, we want to thank you for listening. With the help of the people at Beer52, which is beer and the numbers 52.com. If you go to beer52.com/MFC, you can claim a free case of 8 craft beers. You'll also get a Ferment magazine and also a wee snack as well to go along with it. So, sounds like pretty good. And then you actually realise there's no commitment to it, there's no subscription, you can cancel at any time. They also score 9.1 in Trustpilot, so a very reputable company, and we're delighted to have them on board and supporting us. They'll very much help us buy some new equipment and hopefully make your listening experience that wee bit better. So thanks to beer52.com, and if you go to beer52.com/MFC, you can order your free case of beer and it will arrive the very next day. The draw for the quarterfinals of the Betfred League Cup were made following the Rangers-Kilmarnock game today, or Kilmarnock versus Rangers. It threw up an away trip to Tynecastle. Jay, there was no easy ties in that draw. I think you'd have maybe looked at Ayr United in the Championship as an ideal draw, but given what they did to Dundee at Dens Park yesterday, it's certainly not an easy one by any stretch of the imagination. What we've got is Hearts, and I saw a reply to our Twitter that they've lost only two games in the last 24 at Tynecastle. This is a big ask, and it is a couple of weeks away. We've got bigger fish to fry in terms of getting on the board in the league and get a league season up and running, but it's a difficult one and a big ask if we're going to reach the semi-finals at Hampden.
Well, that's that. I mean, obviously when the game itself comes along, you can maybe look at it a wee bit more depth, because, you know, who knows where we'll be at that stage in terms of results and league form and that kind of thing. But yeah, you know, just looking at it from a distance, a trip to Tynecastle at any time is very, very difficult. Even when Hearts were in the Championship, I think, you know, the prospect of going to play a cup tie at Tynecastle would still be daunting. But particularly this season, they've started so well. They look really, really dangerous. They've obviously got some really, really good players. Obviously, it remains to be seen whether someone like Kyle Lafferty will still be at Hearts when the game comes along. But yeah, it'll be a big ask, like you say. But that said, you know, one of the things I think that we took a great deal of pride from both cup runs last year was the fact that to do so, we had to knock out the likes of Hearts and Aberdeen and Rangers. So it's something that you have to do. If you want to replicate what we did last season, we're going to have to beat teams like Hearts. It would have been nice to maybe get them at Fir Park, but I suppose it's an excuse for a wee jaunt through to Edinburgh. And again, you know, it's one of those ties that once it comes along can obviously take a wee bit, you know, look at it a wee bit more accurately and a bit more in depth, because who knows what either team will look like at that stage. But certainly it is a very, very difficult task. But in a one-off cup tie, as we've shown last season, we are capable.
Scott, I think looking at the teams in the draw, it was almost, you're going through a list of teams that you don't really want to meet. It's not is a very strong quarter-final lineup, and we're going to really have to battle to make it into the last four. That being said, Stephen Robinson's made quite a knack of really producing the goods when it comes to managing the team through cup competitions.
I think I heard somebody yesterday saying, I may be wrong, but I think they said that Stephen Robinson has now won more cup games than any other manager in Motherwell history. So, you know, if that's the case, or certainly with the record that he's had over the past couple of seasons, you know, the teams we've knocked out, it shows that we can go and we can do it, regardless of what our form's been like coming into these kind of cup ties, big cup games, is that we are really, I don't like to use the phrase cup team, that's what other people kind of say about us, but we seem to lift our game then, and as you guys say, if we're going to go and win the cup, then that's the teams you need to beat.
Yeah, there's not really much to add to that, Busta, is there? But the cups, as we've said before, do add an extra dimension to your season. I think yesterday is a case in point. If it can quite often take a bit of the heat off if you're achieving some success in the cups.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Again, comparing it to last season, I think we were in a similar position, you know, as this last season. At this exact point, we'd lost a couple of league games. I think we beat Ross County at this point last year. But, you know, as the guys have said, the aim's obviously to win it, and to do that you have to beat everybody else who they put in front of you. So, you know, there's nothing really we can say. It would have been great if it was at Fir Park. I don't know. I think, to be honest, I'd have preferred Ayr or St Johnston at Fir Park. But, you know what, I've always liked going to Tynecastle, except for that time where he spanked us 6-1 or whatever it was, and we all left after about 20 minutes. you know, a cup tie at Tynecastle, that should be a good laugh.
Yeah, that was the day that we escaped the game after about 20 minutes at 3 or 4 nil down. Got to the pub and the game was on in the tellies in the pub. That was
exactly.
That was a stroke of luck.
half the stand was in the pub, I know.
An interesting interview from Gail Biggs-Romana on Friday ahead of the Livingston game. The BBC went with the line that he thought Scottish football would be easy. That certainly wasn't what the context of the interview was. It was very much a case of twisted words there, but he did say that he wasn't fit enough, he wasn't strong enough, and almost he was the master of his own downfall last season. A season which I think he flattered to deceive. He put in a good few performances from the bench, but when he was handed a starting berth, particularly after Christmas, he never really produced the goods or produced what we thought we were going to get from him. There was a lot of... Yeah, it arrived to a great deal of hype, I suppose. Maybe it's because of the likes of Joe McKelvey and Marty that I'd seen him at Coventry and thought so highly of him. But anyway, the interview went on to say that it was perhaps going to be leaving during the summer. That hasn't happened, so it was now time to knuckle down and prove himself. I thought he was one of our few standouts, or one of the few glimmers of light in the Hamilton game a week ago. Another good performance yesterday alongside Rodriguez Gorin. So things certainly looking up to a certain extent for Biggs-Romana, Jay. We know there's a player in there. I think quite often he's maybe been a victim of our style of play, where he doesn't quite fit in. He maybe at times last season didn't do the legwork required to play that role in our team. But he certainly looks to be given a second chance here, and it's one that he's taken initially with both hands.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, firstly, I was shocked to hear you say there that the BBC misrepresented him, or perhaps, you know, sensationalised or made up a story that wasn't there. But no, I think it's a really interesting one, because I think that, you know, it's obvious that he wants to be a part of the team. You just have to look, you know. I think it's always a bit of a highlight when he's on the park. If we score a goal, anybody scores a goal for Motherwell, and Biggie looks as though he enjoys it more than anybody. I mean, there's no doubting that he's a big character, and he's quite passionate about the team and wants to do well. So, I mean, his comments almost put a little bit of pressure on him now, because if he is suggesting that, you know, he wasn't fit enough, or, he wasn't perhaps ready last season, but he is now, then he has to now go and prove that. So I think there's probably I don't want to use the word blame, but I think, you know, his lack of performances maybe last season, or lack of appearances, is probably a mixture. I think, yes, if Biggie's saying that he wasn't fit enough and, you know, didn't adapt well enough, then that is obviously going to have played a part. I agree with you, you know, I think that the style of play just wouldn't suit Biggie anyway. He's quite a technical player, and long spells of our matches tend to bypass the midfield at times. So if we're going to be playing somebody like Biggie, then I certainly do think you need to try and play his strengths. You need to get the ball down. You need to try and play a bit of football. And I think we've seen enough from him in spells to know that he can contribute. It's just a case of him doing it consistently and being allowed to do it consistently. There's no point in, you know, giving him a couple of games and then chucking him out of the team for another couple of months. It's important he gets a run of games. He gets the chance to prove that what he's saying is correct. And I've always rated him as a technical footballer, and if we're going to try and play a more technical game with the ball on the ground, then I think he's possibly the best player we've got, or the best midfielder we've got for that.
It was quite a brave interview as well, wasn't it, Scott? Because it would be easy for him to come out and say that he was hard done to by the manager. A lot of the support have voiced their concerns in recent weeks that he's been overlooked, and some even saying that he's been treated badly. While I wouldn't agree with that, he's clearly not thrown in the towel. He's knuckling down. He's working hard at improving the aspects of his game that perhaps let him down last season.
I think so. I mean, you know, you never know how many players have had a kind of season like what Biggie had last season, and they've left at the end of that season, and, you know, fans are left thinking, oh, he's been treated badly, just exactly as you say. So I thought when I read that the other day that it took balls for him to come out and say, you know, it was me, or partly it was me, that I wasn't fit enough and that I needed to do more. And I think even for that yesterday, my mate said to me at one point, Biggie, the ball was in the air and he absolutely clattered the Livy player going for the header, and people were in about as moaned and groaned. My mate turned to me and said, see, last season at this time, if he was on the park, he wouldn't have even went for that. So the fact that he's even putting into these challenges and kind of sticking the shoulder in and going in for that does show maybe that what he was talking about in the interview is that it's time for me to step up. He has maybe seen where he needs to improve, and certainly, or maybe at that example, he didn't quite get it right, but he's definitely seen where he needs to go and what he needs to do, and I was impressed by him yesterday, and in flashes in the Aki's game as well.
I think what I was also impressed by was his work rate. He never stopped. He never gave the other central midfielders for Livingston a moment's peace. That's a positive sign as well at a time where we are going to need to roll up the sleeves and get stuck in. He's clearly willing to do that.
I think he was really good. Everything that he'd done yesterday, you know, he showed the various different sides of his game. He was getting stuck in when he needed to, particularly that kind of wee spell in the second half of 20 minutes or so. You know, he was in our box defending. But what I liked was he wasn't panicking. If he was winning the ball on the edge of the box, he'd be showing that he's got the confidence to bring it out and make the pass. And as you say, with the games we've got coming up, you know, Rangers, Hearts, Aberdeen, that's the kind of confidence, and hopefully that breaches through the team, that, you know, we do have somebody in there that can get their foot in the ball and make the pass, whether we're attacking or whether we're defending. We've got somebody there that can take the pressure off if we're kind of under the caution a wee bit.
On last Tuesday, I checked out the under-20s and their Motherwell Colts, but we won't ever call them that, in the fixture against East Stirling in the Ambrose Challenge Cup. But that was a very impressive 3-0 victory, albeit against a side that are now playing in the Lowland League. These guys, some of them playing their first football of the new season. Again, David Turnbull, a fantastic performance, scored a great goal. There was also a lot of positives, guys like Jake Hasty, who's out on loan this season to Alloa. You had Barry Maguire, very, very accomplished. There seems to be a lot of positive players coming through that youth set-up, and the chance to test himself against semi-professional men will make a difference. We've talked before about the development league, and perhaps it can become somewhat stale because you're playing against guys at your own age and you're not quite ready then when you're thrown in at the deep end. These games, for all there's quite a lot of naysayers about the Welsh teams and the Irish teams, I think there's now a couple of English teams and going into the tournament as well. But this, it does provide a good competitive level for these guys to play at, and as Stephen Craigan's mentioned before, the chance to test themselves against the likes of Crusaders last season, that bodes well for the future.
Yeah, to be honest with you, as I say, I don't really know much about the tournaments. I don't get a chance really to, you know, ever see them, basically. But I watched the highlights that went up on the YouTube channel. We spoke last week about David Turnbull, and I think it's safe to say that we're all kind of big fans and would like to see more of him. Again, Hasty and the other guys, I've not seen much at all, to be fair. But I think the one thing, even in previous conversations with Laz and stuff like that, I think the one thing that we did see as a positive of this cup is, the young boys, if you want, they do get to play against guys who have maybe played at higher level or who are playing at higher levels, or maybe had to drop down leagues and stuff like that. So they'll be playing against people who could possibly have been in the game for years, got a lot more experience in them, and when you're playing against people like that, that's how you learn, basically. She mentioned as well, the constantly playing in the what was the under 20s, there was always talk of the gap there, but going from playing against 18-year-old boys to playing against a 25-year-old man who he might be a wee bit more streetwise than previously, and knows all the wee tricks of the trade and stuff. So there's an opportunity there for them to learn stuff like that. And as you said, I think they've added even more teams to it. I don't know if it's conference level teams or the league below or whatever, but I think it does have a bit of a bad reputation, but I think a lot of people sort of don't approve of the Welsh, the Irish and now the English teams joining in. But looking at it as a sort of semi outsider, I think it's a pretty decent wee tournament. But I think the first time an Irish team or whatever wins it, that's when you'll start to see people's negative thoughts on it. But it's good for the unders, basically, to get these games against the more experienced teams.
And then, having said that, the draw for the next round of the Ibrox Cup paired Motherwell with Dundee Colts, so maybe blows everything that I just said about 5 minutes ago out the water. But certainly, I thought it was a worthwhile exercise. Some really good performances in amongst it. There was kind of spells where they were under the cosh, but they weren't retaining the ball too well, or a wee bit of sloppiness crept into their play, but I think that was more to do with fitness levels and match sharpness rather than anything else. But a 3-0 victory, and hopefully if they can get past Dundee in the next round, then who knows, you could perhaps have a wee joint down south or back over to Ireland again. So we'll wait and see with that. Next up in the league, remember we're still sitting bottom, whether that matters after two games I'm not 100% sure, but it's fair to say it's not been a good start to the league season, and next up is a visit from Rangers to Fir Park, a Rangers side that certainly look reinvigorated under Stevie Gerrard, a very strong start to the league season. They've progressed in Europe to the last qualifying round, a win at Rugby Park against Kilmarnock today. Jay, it's obvious that you're coming up against a team here that aren't like the Rangers in the last couple of seasons, or certainly not based on the start they've made to the season. They've brought in a whole host of new faces, spent a fair bit of money as well. So it's a game that I think we always go into as underdogs, but by the same token, at home, I would like to see us represent a challenge for any team that visits, and Rangers are absolutely no exception to that.
Yeah, I mean, I've not seen a great deal of Rangers. I saw the first half of the game today, and although, you know, Rangers won it overall, or, you know, pretty comfortably, I thought it was in part down to some shocking defending from Kilmarnock, so they certainly, you know, weren't blowing Killy away, in my opinion, but I've not really seen much of them. You know, in the other games, obviously, a lot has been made about the sort of the Stevie Gerrard factor. A lot of hype, a lot of excitement around Rangers at the moment. But until we kind of see them next Sunday, I don't really know what to expect. I don't know how much of that hype is justified, or whether, you know, they've maybe just improved slightly. Obviously, Jamie Murphy looks, I would imagine, very unlikely to play in that game. So, you know, obviously you don't want to take any sort of joy out of a serious injury, particularly for an ex-Motherwell player. But that perhaps will work in our favour slightly, because he's such a dangerous player. But I don't really know what to expect on Sunday, because, as I said, I've not seen a great deal of them. But you're right, I would like to think that we can, you know, combat them. We showed last season, you know, in the Cup semi-final in particular, that we could get in their faces and we could unsteady them and we could ultimately beat them. As you say, it's a different team, but how different, I'm really not sure. You know, it'll just be interesting to see how we approach that game, because if yesterday, you know, from everything I've read and what's been said today, it does sound as though we actually, you know, went into yesterday's game trying to play a bit more football, trying to kind of get away from that long ball game that we've kind of made quite a consistent part of our performances. So it'll be interesting to see whether we try to continue that on Sunday, or whether the sort of the stature of the opponent sort of, you know, sees us return to try to just kick folk, which isn't necessarily a bad way to go about things. But, you know, we'll just need to wait and see. I think there's a lot of questions over how we'll line up, how Rangers will line up. But it'll be a marker for us as well, because, you know, it has been a difficult start. Stephen Robinson said that, you know, the game yesterday's kick-started our season. So if that's true, then we should be looking to put in a good performance and a competitive performance on Sunday, and hopefully, you know, get some sort of result out of it.
Yeah, but as Jay's pointed out, it's a test, and it's one that we possibly don't really have a proper gauge of where we're at. Yesterday does make the start to the season that wee bit better, but still going into the game in 0 points. And there are other fixtures that are coming up. It's an important one. I don't know whether it'd be going far too far to say that it's a must-win game or anything like that, but I think we certainly need to up the performance levels in comparison to these first two league games.
Yeah, obviously picking up no points from the first three league games, it sounds terrible. You know, maybe other than Hamilton, you know, we've got two hard games there. Well, Hamilton's a hard game as well. You know, I don't really mean any disrespect to them, because as bad as we think we are, we always end up sort of being drawn out in a battle and struggling against them. The odd occasion one of them tanks the other one. But, you know, I watched the Rangers game today, and to be fair, it's a bit hard to judge them. I don't really think they've played, you know, very many decent teams. I thought Kilmarnock would put up a bit more of a test for them today, but their ginger centre-half was absolutely rotten, and their goalie felt one of the goals as well, I thought. And for as much as a wee dick that Morelos guy is, you know, he knows where the goal is, basically. He'll dive, he'll cheat, he'll moan, but he'll score a goal or two, so... you know, he's one that we'll have to watch as well. I think in regards to our team selection as well, my worry is that, you know, yesterday Robinson was sort of forced into playing, you know, that sort of way, with a couple of knocks. We had, you know, a wee bit of upset amongst the fans about playing Salmon and Maine together. You know, I think, to be fair, come Saturday, we'll probably see Danny Johnson in the team, which is good, but I think we'll go straight back to, you know, the sort of, I'm going to say, attempted hustle and bustle of last season, because I think one of the moans from quite a lot of people is that, you know, as much as the style of football we play is not very attractive,
and Jay says, you know, we'll go back to kicking people. One of the problems for me is we haven't actually kicked into this year. We've been that shite, we've got nowhere near them to kick them. You know, so if we'd actually got near Hamilton and actually kicked them, you know, we might not have lost that game. Hibs, we might have, you know, Hibs are a good team, I know, to be fair, but, you know, it might have been a closer game, I suppose, because really the game was done, they took their foot off it, and then we came back into it a bit. But if we are going to go, you know, hustle and bustle, I'd actually like to see us, you know, kick people. But it's going to be a difficult one. We, you know, Cadden obviously been injured this week. I don't know, you know, what the reasons behind Campbell not starting were, but from what I was seeing on in the reviews and, you know, obviously on the day and Twitter feed and stuff like that, he came on and he done really well. So it'll be interesting to see how he goes. But I think I don't think we can expect points for this game. Regardless of how shite Rangers have been over the years, you know, they've always been a team with a bigger budget than us and somebody who should be better than us. So I think if we take a point, I'll be happy.
See, just to go briefly back to the stuff about Livy's pitch, Kenny Miller must absolutely hate it because he's just left.
No,
he's just quit Livy. So there we go.
So
are we taking the credit for that then?
Is this one dressing room that he couldn't actually disrupt, so he just decided that he would almost throw a grenade in there? That's very early doors to be doing something like that, given the amount of players they brought in as well. That's quite bizarre, but maybe some reasoning will come out for that, and maybe it won't involve dogs like everything else seems to do. Scott, it's interesting to look at Rangers' games so far this season, and they've not actually, and someone might come in and say no they did, but I don't think they've been behind at any point in any of the fixtures in Europe or in the league so far this season. That could be... Sorry?
No, sorry, when you go, I was just saying that you're right, they haven't been behind at any point, because my fucking mates won't shut up about it as if it's some sort of great start. But anyway, sorry, on you go.
Oh, well, don't start mouthing off about the start before I actually get the question out. That's something that could work in our favour if we do get up and at them early doors and get ourselves in front. It could be a good test of their character to see how they respond. Last season, we were right from the start against Rangers and we found ourselves 2-0 up fairly early on in the game, and it was only a 10-minute spell at the start of the second half that cost us the 3 points in that occasion. If you can silence their supporters, and God will wish that would happen more often, that could get us going. I think an early goal would be a huge boost. It always is, obviously, but particularly in the circumstances where Rangers haven't been behind.
No one went behind yet in league or any kind of European games, then, you know, obviously their fans, as Buster says, have seen Gerrard as the messiah who's going on and doing a great job. But if we can, as you say, get in their faces, get an early goal, or really even get the first goal, regardless of what time it comes at, then that'll be a true test of how well they view this team, and, you know, do they get on their back, or do they support them and get behind them? So there's a lot more to it than, I would say, just, you know, can we get the first goal? There's a lot more various dynamics involved in that, so I think we've really got to, and, you know, I hate the old idea that, oh, keep a clean sheet for the first 20 minutes and then we invariably lose a goal in the 21st minute, but, you know, the longer we can keep it at zero, then the more chance we've got of getting that goal, and if we can get that goal, then they have to come out to us, and I don't think they've really had to do that much as of yet.
No, I would agree, and it would also be nice for us to score a goal in the league, given that we haven't done so far this season, so that would also be a boost, because you don't win any games if you don't actually manage to score a goal. So, yeah, that's fingers crossed, and hopefully Danny Johnson can replicate his last couple of appearances in the cup into the league action and got off the mark in the Scottish Premiership. Guys, I think that's pretty much all we've got for tonight. Thank you very much to you all for your time.
Cheers.
Cheers. Thank you.
Thanks, Iris.
And just a reminder again, the Beer 52, it's beer and the numbers 52.com/MFC to order your free crate of beer. Any support for Beer 52 is greatly appreciated, and it also helps the podcast, which we would massively, massively appreciate. You've been listening to the MFC podcast. We'll be back next Monday. Until then, thank you and goodbye.
Mix another medicine, that scientist, that's it, yeah.